Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Monday, May 2nd. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amelia Newcomb.
And I'm Ken Kaplan.
Fred Weir, as many Monitor readers know, has witnessed Russia's modern history up close. He moved to the country when it was still the USSR. He watched Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev institute glasnost, or openness in English, the Soviet state collapse in 1991, and street fighting break out in Moscow in 1993 amid a constitutional crisis. Not long after, he began to chart the rise of Vladimir Putin. Fred has seen uneasy times, including those when Russians struggled with sharply reduced living conditions. Now, he's being asked about the impact of heavy sanctions in response to the Ukraine invasion. As he says, people want to know, aren't Russians feeling it? That's the subject of his story today. Fred says he's found little sign of disruption for average Russians, be it in Moscow or well beyond. Witness the well-stocked village grocery store Fred visited 60 miles away. A strong agricultural sector, he explains, means there's plenty of the foodstuffs Russians expect to find, from cabbage and carrots to buckwheat. Prices are rising, but not in a game-changing way. Consumer goods are plentiful, at least for now. At work, professionals have seen more varying effects. While some, including Fred's wife, who works in the fashion industry, have experienced considerable disruption, others, such as IT workers, are finding opportunities as bigger players exit. Where Fred sees the impact most clearly is in private conversations, in the sharing of views he encapsulates as, "We're in it, so Russia has to win, but this is awful, and we'll be paying for this for the rest of our lives." That payment comes, at least for many professionals, in being cut off from the world, meaning the West. It's also about family separation, children abroad and decisions about whether they should come home, or family members who may be drafted should the war expand. Still, Fred points out, Russians have a well-honed sense of how to make do. Russia is not a gas station masquerading as a country, Fred says, contradicting a characterization by the late Senator John McCain. They have a more diverse economy, and that experience of self-sufficiency is well understood. Now, today's stories. Our first story, what defines the heart of a city? For more than a century, urban communities prized and prioritized downtown business districts. The rise of work-from-home culture during the pandemic is forcing a rethink.
Jordan Cohen never thought he could really feel at home outside Manhattan. "The city is just very viscerally in my DNA," says the marketing executive. His family first settled in New York over a century ago when his grandparents arrived at Ellis Island. Then the pandemic hit and, almost to their surprise, he and his wife both found they could do their jobs quite seamlessly from home. So they decided to move to Maine and within a few months had bought an old Dutch colonial. "We don't plan on returning to NYC or city life again," he says. From the Great Resignation to the Zoom revolution to the nationwide housing boom, the legacies of the pandemic are in many ways helping to redefine the meaning of urban life. In most major American cities, fewer than half of office workers are returning to their desks each day. For cities, this means empty offices, shuttered storefronts, cash-strapped subways, and lost tax revenues that are forcing officials to cut services. Our reporting team visits four U.S. cities, New York, Atlanta, St. Louis, and Boston, where dramatic shifts in commuter traffic are prompting city leaders to reconsider what downtown should be. This story was reported by Harry Bruinius in New York, Patrick Johnson in Atlanta, Tara Adhikari in St. Louis, and Alexander Thompson in Boston for The Monitor.
As we noted earlier, Russia is confronting unprecedented sanctions because of its invasion of Ukraine. The average Russian is not feeling the effect for the most part, the result of a stronger economy as well as long-standing experience with overcoming barriers.
2 months into what Russia calls the special military operation against Ukraine, accompanied by the most comprehensive barrage of sanctions ever leveled against any country, Russian life, at least around Moscow, looks shockingly normal. At the Europark Mall, a giant hypermarket has bursting shelves and full stocks of almost everything. Only a few specific products, such as Kellogg's brand muesli, are gone. If you happened to be in the city and wanted to sit in an upscale coffee shop, sip a latte, and use the Wi-Fi, you'd be spoiled for choice. Restaurants, beauty salons, grocery stores, car repair services, indeed the full range of consumer services are still operating almost normally. And outright piracy, a fixture of 90s life in Russia, seems set to make a comeback. For example, several Moscow cinemas are currently screening The Batman and other first-run Hollywood films, even though their licenses to do so have been revoked. It will be more difficult and expensive, but nobody will have to go without their gadgets and other comforts, says economist Andrei Movchan. This story was reported by Fred Weir in Moscow for The Monitor.
Salome Zurabishvili, the president of Georgia, recently joined The Monitor to discuss what she sees unfolding in Ukraine and the wider implications for neighboring countries like hers.
Is the country of Georgia next in line for Russian aggression? After all, like Ukraine, Georgia is a former Soviet republic that sits on Russia's border and is not a member of NATO or the European Union. And also like Ukraine, before Russia's February invasion, Georgia has long had portions of its territory under de facto Russian control. Nevertheless, the question irks Salome Zurabishvili, president of Georgia. By talking all the time about the fact that you're next, that might plant some ideas, said President Zurabishvili, speaking Friday with several reporters at a coffee organized by the Christian Science Monitor. Nobody's next right now, because Russia is clearly showing that it needs all its forces on the main theater, she adds, alluding to news reports that Russia's offensive in eastern Ukraine is faltering. Still, Ms. Zurabishvili, who came to Washington for the memorial service of former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, wants to make sure policymakers know that Russia could target other countries. Nobody can see what is the logic of the aggression started by the Russian leadership, she says, and when you don't see the logic, you don't know either what might be the day after scenarios. This story was reported by Linda Feldman in Washington for The Monitor.
In our Progress Roundup by Erica Page, communities around the globe pursued goals to improve the lives of their own residents. But the positive impact of their self-improvement plans often reaches further. You can read about all of this week's points of progress, from Nigeria tackling a lead problem to indigenous public libraries in Colombia, at csmonitor.com/daily. Watching a seedling break through the soil or harvesting our own produce can bring joy and pride. Gardening, in whatever space we have, nurtures our families and ourselves.
Gardening was one of the first hobbies people adopted during the pandemic. Now, many of those gardeners are ready to up their game. At the same time, people new to gardening are looking for guidance and inspiration. 5 recent books offer practical advice and plenty of encouragement for creating the backyard, patio, or windowsill of your dreams. No matter what kind of space you have, there's a way to bring the bounty of plants into your life. Whether it's growing microgreens on a table or sowing wildflower seeds in a field, gardening brings people back to the rhythms of the seasons and the feel of dirt in their hands. These book reviews, which you can find in full in today's issue, were written by Kendra Nordine Beato for The Monitor.
Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on protecting Ukrainian civilians in harm's way. On May 1st, Russia and Ukraine cooperated just enough to allow dozens of Ukrainian civilians to leave their bunkers beneath a steel plant in the besieged city of Mariupol and travel to a safe zone. Just 10 days earlier, Russian President Vladimir Putin said his troops would surround the factory so that not even a fly can come out of it. Did something change Mr. Putin's thinking about saving those innocent Ukrainians? Since the Russian invasion began February 24th, many Ukrainian civilians have been evacuated through Russian military lines, but nothing quite as significant as the rescue of those forced to shelter beneath the Azov steel plant. The organization of such humanitarian corridors is one of the elements of the ongoing negotiation process, said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The tactic is often used in war: build trust between warring parties by saving non-combatants, appealing to both sides in protecting the dignity of innocent lives. That trust may then open doors for peace. Many more humanitarian corridors are needed in Ukraine. If the convoy now rescuing the hundreds of people in Mariupol succeeds, it may lead to additional peacemaking actions. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. For more Monitor audio, including our serial podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. And thanks for starting your week with us. Please keep an eye out Tuesday for Stephen Humphrey's story about Elon Musk's bid to buy Twitter and what it will take to build trust in online information and discourse. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares that whatever our background, wherever we are, and whatever the circumstances, the healing message of Christ speaks to all of us in a way we can each understand. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jeff Turton, Alyssa Britton, and Alexander Thompson.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2022.